Progressive Radio News Hour with Stephen Ledman, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and weekends at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Gilad Asman. Gilad is an Israeli-born musician. He's a writer. He's an activist, critic of Israeli repression against Palestinians and its Arab citizens. He's also the author of a new book out shortly, I believe in October, and it could be pre-ordered on Amazon. It's called The Wandering Who. We want to talk about his new book. It's an important book. Gilad, I welcome you. If you'd allow me just to make an introductory comment on friends of mine in Tripoli. Gilad, welcome. Let me say that.
Hey, hello. How are you? I'm here. I didn't want to interfere.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on, and I wanted to make a comment about a few friends of mine, independent journalists in Tripoli, and what they have gone through in recent days where their lives literally were threatened. I will talk about more about it over the weekend. The only thing I want to say now is reports came out yesterday that they were evacuated at the hotel where they were trapped because of the street fighting. I believe the reports explaining it all were distorted, but that's not the issue. They couldn't get out. And for their safety, they had to wear bulletproof vests and helmets, and I saw photos. I believe that's all accurate. They were scared, especially one particular friend of mine. He was very scared, and justifiably, because he was mocked for death. And I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And they were taken to another hotel because the fighting continues. A boat that will get them out of the country cannot dock safely, so it's waiting for the fighting to die down. When on earth that will happen, I have no idea. It is still raging, despite the major media reports claiming otherwise. It is still raging, so it really isn't safe, and anything exposed could be vulnerable to be attacked on the ground, from the air, whatever. So they were at another hotel. It's a little better than where they were, Gilad, but there still is a lot of violence around them. And I got an email from another of my friends there. It was very brief and to the point, and he just said, a shooting all around, and apparently he had to go very fast. So I don't know what exactly was happening. I imagine he meant outside the hotel, not inside, but you never know. So it's still very chaotic, very violent. And these people in the hotel, they may be in a different hotel, but their safety is not exactly secured yet. Anyway, Gilad, we want to talk about your book, The Wandering Who, and it's an important book. It's a study of Jewish identity politics, and I'll let you explain, but this, as you know, and I know, I do a fair amount of writing on this myself, there's a vast chasm between the image that Israel wants to convey and the true Israel that you know and that I know, and anybody who takes the trouble to find out can very easily know themselves. Talk about your book and what's in it and why you wrote it and so on.
Yeah, you know, it's actually the first interview that I make about a public appearance about the book, because we still have 1 month to go, but so I have to decide how I want to present it. But the issue for me is very, very simple. I do realize that Israel defined itself as the Jewish state, and at a certain stage I realized, which is kind of a pretty obvious observation, that all those Israeli airplanes and tanks that bombard and shell Palestinian civilians, innocent people basically, are decorated with Jewish symbols. And is our duty to ask what Jewishness stands for. What was pretty fascinating for me was the fact that as soon as I started to raise this question 8 or 9 years ago, the first people to attack me, to chase me, to try to silence me, were actually within the Jewish left and within the Jewish-Palestinian solidarity movement.
If I could just throw a comment in, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I must tell you,
I'm sure that you do.
The same thing happens to me. The same thing happens to me. I'm Jewish, like you are. And
I didn't know it at all.
Oh, indeed.
This was something very interesting because, you know, when a lot of... I interfered, so you say it, and I want to comment about it.
Oh, well, you explained your experience, and I went through the same thing. With members of my own family and a couple of boyhood friends, one especially, was extremely hostile to me about some of my writing, and I couldn't believe that someone who was such a good friend growing up with would send me such a hateful email, like I committed a terrible crime. I mean, you tell the truth, Gilad, and I try to tell the truth, and the idea that we're Jewish or that Israel should get a pass is simply something we do not countenance. Nobody gets a pass when they commit wrongs, and certainly not with me and not with you, but I'll let you continue.
No, so this is the issue. At a certain stage, I realized that there is that thing that is called PEPs. It is basically progressive, except for Palestine. You know, and you just described such a case. You know, people whom you want to believe it are really great people and great supporters of humanity suddenly stand against you when you try to tell the truth. And when this happened, I realized that I have a big project ahead of me. I tried to understand what is Jewish identity, politics, what is the role of Jewish activism within the left, within the Palestinian solidarity movement, and my findings were devastating. But I also managed to understand how quite a few people, like yourself, I didn't realize that you are Jewish, but you know there are quite a few great great thinkers and activists of Jewish origin who support me and support the cause genuinely. And it is very easy to explain. I realize that basically the problem that we have within the left or within the Palestinian solidarity movement is with people who operate within Jewish exclusive political cells. And this is indeed a very big problem, because people who operate within Jewish exclusive, racially exclusive cells are politically, are actually Zionists to a certain extent. Why they're Zionists? Because Zionism was the idea of operating, they invented the Jewish nation, and once they invented the Jewish nation, they actually created the template for Jewish to operate politically as Jews. Now, for instance, Ahmed from Gaza, a refugee in 1948, cannot go back to live in his house in Jaffa, or in Lod, or in Safed. But he manages to make it to New York or Chicago or to London or to Paris, and there he come across a very interesting group of a Palestinian solidarity campaigners. He sees that they are doing a very good job, and you want to join them, and then you realize that you cannot really join them because they are, again, Jews for Palestine or Jews for a boycott of Israeli goods. They're as racially exclusivist as the Israeli state. And this is indeed a very, very troubling issue, especially because they do manage or did manage for a very long time to stifle freedom of speech. Now, I would believe that actually Jews are very, very important. I would argue that Jews are very, very important in this movement because Israel is the Jewish state. So it is totally obvious. The problem starts when those bodies invest too much energy in trying to steer this movement. And it becomes, it stops being a Palestinian solidarity a movement, and it becomes instead being a movement that is concerned primarily with Jewish issues.
Well, there's no question in my mind, Gilad, that there are growing numbers of people of all religions, and there are many, many thousands of Jews around the world, including in America. And hopefully there will be growing numbers in Israel as well. There certainly are growing numbers that are fed up with what's going on by their government, and they're leaving. They're leaving the country. They don't want any more to do with it. I mean, that is a very telling indictment for me.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And the issue for me, by the way, you know, I have to make sure that your listeners do understand that, for instance, Torah Jews who oppose Israel in the name of the Torah are, to me at least, totally coherent. I understand what they talk about. When they speak about the fact that the Zionist idea or the Israeli state is actually an obstacle for the understanding of Judaism and the Torah or their understanding, I totally support them. This is not a racially exclusivist philosophy. It's actually a spiritual opposition. You are totally right about Israel. Israel is in a process, in an advanced stage of disintegration. And we saw it in the last few weeks. We see what is happening there in terms of protests. But there is another very interesting aspect on Israel that we have to understand. They had a massive uprise, a popular movement, hundreds of thousands of people in the street, and then as soon as they thought that there is a prospect of a conflict, they all went home and took the guns and were ready to fight Gaza again. So I think that this identity needs a lot of attention. And by the way, the problem is not just in Israel. In fact, in America, it is very, very severe. When we are looking at the influence of AIPAC, and if we look into the behavior of your joint house just 6 weeks ago, the way they reacted to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Indeed. A sickening,
you know,
display. A sickening
and
display.
And this is why I believe that time is overdue, actually, to look systematically into the lobbying, Israeli lobbying, Zionist lobbying, Jewish lobbying within Western administration. One of them, the earliest findings for me was that it is very obvious, actually, that it's much cheaper to buy an American politician than buying a tank.
Oh, they're all for sale,
but it's simple.
All U.S. politicians are for sale. We have a Congress with 535 members in the House and Senate. Every single one down to the last man and woman is for sale. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that. They're all bought and paid for to one degree or another. There's variations, of course, but to one degree or another, they are all bought and paid for. Can I give an example of the difference between the Israeli reality and the Israeli image? Well, we know the image that Israel wants to portray itself as, but here's the reality, and you can, if you go looking for it, you can very easily find this stuff all the time to one extent or another, in one form or another. But the Overnight Report, here's one website. I could go to half a dozen others and get the same report, and it says Gaza City, quote, seven Palestinians were killed and at least 30 injured as multiple Israeli airstrikes targeted Gaza overnight Wednesday. Well, in the past week or 10 days, they've done it on four or five or six other nights as well, and killed, before last night, they killed, maybe 17, 18, 20 Palestinians. And this stuff goes on all the time. And then, Gilad, when Palestinians respond with homemade rockets or crude weapons compared to what Israel has, Israel attacks even more in self-defense, it says, against Palestinian terrorists. Well, I've written before, and I recently wrote an article entirely on the right of self-defense. It's in international law. It's right there. Anybody can find it. The article is on my blog site and a lot of other sites. I think I write so many. I think my title was Palestinian Right to Resist, or Palestinian's Right to Resist, or Resistance Right in my title. It's a recent article on my blog within the last week or so. And anybody can find it. And international law is very clear. No nation may attack another unless it's being attacked. And any nation attacked has a right to strike back in self-defense.
But I think that it goes farther, because the Palestinians, for me, are just in the forefront of a battle. We are all part of this battle, and our elementary right to resist is primarily the right to resist the silencing, the right for us to say what we believe and what we think. And this is something that we somehow agreed, or many of us, to give away a while back, and we must now fight to revert to this right and explore it and celebrate it. The fact that we cannot say what is happening in Palestine, the fact that we cannot identify the problem is much larger than Zionism. We are stuck with terminology that is totally misleading. And this is what I try to do in my book. I try to look into the event, look into the political process, and to go one step farther and to look into the metaphysics of this conflict. For instance, we like to talk about Zionism. But Zionism is a completely irrelevant word as far as we want to understand Israel. Why? Because Israelis do not know what Zionism is all about. Zionism was a dream to transform the Jews into civilized people who live in their own land, blah, 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 blah. But most Israelis are native Israelis. They were born in Israel. So when I was raised in Israel, like all other people in my generation, even my parents who were born in Palestine, they were not really familiar with the idea of Zionism. So Zionism has nothing to do with Israel and Israeliness. Israel is its own cause, its own political mantra or ideological mantra. Zionism is primarily a Jewish diaspora discourse. This is why, by the way, anti-Zionism is not such a big threat to Israel, is because they don't even understand how it refers to them. This is a very new way to look at the discourse. Another myth is talking about Israel as colonialism. Yes, Israel has some colonial symptoms, but Israel is not colonialism because Zionism is not colonialism, because colonialism defines relationship between mother state and settler state. Israel is definitely a settler state, but there is no mother state. There is no Jewish mother state. Apartheid, another misleading concept. If Israel is not a colonial state, it is not necessarily an apartheid state. We are dealing, the conclusion here is very simple. We are dealing with a very unique political concept with a very unique identity. And as long as we are shy off to admit that it is very unique, we are not going to address it and deal with it appropriately, and we definitely have very little to contribute to the Palestinians. And as a matter of fact, this crime, this genocidal crime in Palestine is taking place for more than 62 years now, 62, 63 years, and still, as we can see, the Palestinian solidarity movement has so far, very little to contribute to the Palestinians and their prospect of a peaceful future. So we have to go through. And a moment of reflection, and to allow our notions and ideas to be transformed and to be more accurate and to present a better understanding of this conflict.
Well, indeed so. And of course, for me, the crux of it, and for you too, Gilad, is not Jewishness, but right versus wrong, and justice, and Palestinians and Jews lived in the part of the world that's called Israel and Palestine. There were times
and all over the Arab and the Muslim world.
Indeed so. I mean, there are Jews and. There are quite a few Arab countries. I don't know what the Jewish population is of all of them, and maybe it's very sparse in some, but I know there's a reasonable number in countries like Iran, and they have no problems. They're treated,
for sure.
They're not persecuted, and I have mm-hmm. read material where some Iranian Jews were asked if they would prefer to leave and go to Israel, and they wanted no part of it.
I've read it as well, and I'll tell you something. Maybe my father wouldn't be happy that I share his history with your audience. But my father and my mother, both of them, were born in Palestine. But my father's history in the region goes something like 5-6 generations back. I, at a certain stage, went with my grandfather to search for his grandfather's grave in Mount Olive. And he buried him in 1929, at the time of the uprising. He couldn't find it since then. It's a memory that I carry with me since I was a kid. My grandfather spoke Arabic. Actually, I think better than his Hebrew, which is something that embarrassed me, I must admit, as a kid, because I was living in a Jewish state. However, my father told me a few years back, my father is getting older now, And he told me, I was born as a Palestinian, and I don't know what happened, you know, 1948 or whatever. We became Jews, and we became Israelis. And he said, now I'm 70 years old. It was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, around in 2000, maybe 2007, before Operation Cast Lead, we were in Europe. And he told me, now I live in the region and I want, again, to be part of the land rather than to be part of a state. And this is a very important differentiation between Israel and Palestine. Palestine is the land. Israel is a state. He said, I want to be part of the land I was born on. And that meant to become Palestinian. I challenged him. My father was in the Air Force. I told him, listen, you know, if you really want to be Palestinians, you can maybe help them with the Palestinian people in Gaza to develop their ballistic mission. He said, oh, no, I wouldn't go as far, which I understand. But, you know, he doesn't want to anymore to be part of any military or, you know, destructive force. This is his choice. But I believe that some people in the region and within Israel still want to be part of the land. And inshallah, this is something that would evolve eventually into a very peaceful concept. Unfortunately, before this happens, we have a lot, what we see at the moment is the rise of Israeli and Israeli right wing and increasing of a Jewish fundamental ideology that is based on goy hating. I read 2 days ago, 3 days ago, there was I think it was an information clearinghouse. There were statistics from the region, and I think that 52% of the Israelis would like to see Palestinians ethnically cleansed.
It is a very, very disturbing possibility, Gilad. The things that the human mind can conceive for the power that they want, and there's no question in my mind that the authorities in Israel would be very happy if the Palestinians and the Israeli Arabs simply weren't around, so they could have an exclusive Jewish state, and they are freeing themselves of Palestinians by what I've written about several times, and I'm not the only one who says this, slow motion genocide. And I mean, you know, you kill them off one by one, or you stop them, or you inflict them with disease, or whatever. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that you can harm people, and I mean, really inflict a lot of suffering on them to make them just want to pack up and leave. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it, that nobody can accuse you of cold-blooded murder. Gilad, we are at the end of the time. I wish we could keep this thing going. Your book is important. Again, it's called The Wandering Who. And I've been talking to Gilad Osman, and it could be pre-ordered from Amazon right now, can't it, Gilad?
Yeah, I think that I'm not supposed to say it, but I realize now that here in Britain, and as far as I'm aware, it was already sold out on Amazon, so they send more now.
Yes, oh my goodness!
It can be pre-ordered, and if I understood it correctly, in spite of the fact that that it is not out yet, Amazon already shipping some of them.
Oh my goodness, Gilad!
So, yes.
I have to cut it off because we are out of time. My book coming out in about 10 days. Oh, it's in about a week now. I hope my book does almost as well. Gilad, my great
day. I'm sure that it will. I'm sure that it will.
My great thanks, Gilad.
I would love to read it.
My great thanks. I'll send you a link. I'll send you a link, and I don't have a copy of it yet.
Well, oh my God!
I have the
okay.
material that I don't have the hard copy yet. I certainly have the material, but not a hard copy. Gilad, my great thanks to you.
Thanks to you so much. Bye bye.
And join us this weekend, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern Time.